Chapter 16. 9/11 and Cold Fusion, a possible attempt to rewrite history? The 3rd of February 2014. History. Since about 2007, I have been attempting to document and understand the 9/11 cover-up, particularly in relation to the research of Dr. Judy Wood too. To this end, in 2009, I self-published a book, compilation of articles which I called 9/11 Finding the Truth. This compilation, now in its third edition, can be obtained as a free download in various formats 110, or in a cost-price paperback. I have continued to write articles on this subject, as attempts have continued to keep the cover-up, muddle-up going. The purpose has mainly been to document, with related evidence, how the cover-up has continued to evolve, to include a number of related areas. Recent correspondence I have received has led me to wonder whether we might even be ahead of the game, at least to some extent, as I may have been witness to an attempt to rewrite history. At this point, it is not quite clear if this is the case, but I wanted to document some things now, and if it turns out I am wrong, then so be it. Facts. Regardless of any conclusions I may make in this article, the facts about 9/11 and the facts about those involved in helping to cover up those facts will remain the same. Facts such as those stated by Dr. Judy Wood following her comprehensive forensic investigation of what happened to the WTC will not change. The WTC towers did not burn up, nor did they slam to the ground, they mostly turned to dust in midair will never change. The fact that Stephen E. Jones worked in a field of research that he and a colleague called Cold Fusion in the 1980s, and he then worked in the field of 9/11 research from about 2005 onwards will not change. Caroline Louise and Scholars for 9/11 Truth. On the 13th of January 2014, I received an email with the subject Judy Wood / Stephen Jones and all the rest of it from someone going by the name Caroline Louise. She wrote, "I'm writing a piece about the confrontation that occurred 2006-07 between Judy Wood, Jim Fetzer, Morgan Reynolds and others on one hand and Steve Jones, Kevin Ryan et al. On the other. I've talked to James Tracy of the Memory Hole blog about publishing it there. I want it to be a factual piece, as objective as possible, and I'm keen to talk to all sides. I've already made contact with Steve Jones, who has agreed to talk, and I'm hoping to get input from Jim Fetzer, Judy Wood and Morgan Reynolds. Would you be interested in talking to me about your perspective? As a non-US observer, I think that would be valuable. I'm from the UK myself. I'm sure you're busy and I'll be happy to fit into your schedule. We can talk on the phone or email as you prefer." I had never heard of this person and immediately wondered about her surname, as I don't remember hearing anyone use a surname of Louise. I was also curious about her referring to sides in the matters of what is true and what is untrue. I was therefore a little cautious, suspicious in my response to her, so I wrote back with the following. A quick response, with some questions and answers. 1. Can you explain what your objective is with this exercise? 2. Where will said piece be published? 3. What is more important, writing a piece about an alleged confrontation, or establishing what happened on 9/11? Here are a couple of facts for you. A. Dr. Judy Wood submitted a key TAM case in 2007. http://tinyl.com/911ktam. B. Stephen E. Jones et al. Did not submit a key TAM case, indeed, they did not even submit the evidence that they claimed explained the destruction of the towers. http://911thermitefree.blogspot.co.uk/2009/10/thermitefreerfc.html. Some links out of date. As Caroline Louise had talked about involving me in a discussion of some kind, I also wrote, "So really, there's not much point in involving me in discussion, the evidence is all posted really, so you can just reference that. If you want to quote me, you can say. There are a number of folks that I have come into contact with over the years, in relation to 9/11 research. I've written about the interactions I've had, and have published them in my free ebook 9/11 Finding the Truth. I have collected considerable amounts of evidence that Stephen E. Jones, Jim Fetzer and others have taken actions or said things to help keep the truth of what happened to the World Trade Center, as established in Dr. Judy Wood's definitive research, covered up. I encourage people to study Dr. Wood's research and then read my free ebook. I will send people free DVDs if they are of use, although all the evidence is posted on my website, http://www.checkedevidence.com/. Caroline Louise responded a few days later, describing my email as helpful, and she answered my questions as follows. Please note her stated objective. 1. My objective is to try and tell the story of what actually happened to 9/11 Truth in the summer-winter of 2006-07. It was momentous for the movement and, concomitantly, for humanity, and yet it's never really been examined. In fact, a lot of people in the movement are not really aware of what happened at all. But when you begin to piece everything together, as I've been doing lately, a quite amazing story unfolds. It's a human story as well as a massive debate on what science is, how investigation should be done, what telling the truth really means. 2. As regards where it will appear. I've talked to James Tracy of Memory Hole blog and he's expressed interest in hosting an article there. 3. I don't think you can separate the struggle to establish the truth of 9/11 from what happened in 2006. Everyone concerned in that event alleged that they were fighting for this truth, but in the end the truth was the first casualty. Examining how and why that happened is important. I certainly did not agree with Caroline Louise's statement in 3. It is quite easy to separate what happened on the 11th of September from the statements made by various people in 2006 about it. Simply ask yourself the question, did the towers turn mostly to dust? This is a starting point, the truth of which can be established by observation, which has nothing to do with what anyone may have said since it actually happened. That's what the truth is, and other talk has often proved to be a distraction from that truth. Caroline Louise's statement about truth being a casualty in 2006 happened because Stephen E. Jones and Jim Fetzer did not want to talk about it, not because Dr. Judy Wood presented the evidence she had been collecting. I decided to respond thus, as I felt she had ignored the evidence I sent. Dear Caroline, thanks for your response. However, you didn't refer to the evidence I posted. If people are interested in the truth, they have to study the evidence, and talk about their conclusions. Although you gave me some general answers and comments, you didn't comment specifically on the other evidence I presented you with. This is one way in which the truth gets covered up, by not talking about it. You wrote, greater than examining how and why that happened is important. This is exactly what myself and Dr. Judy would have done, in our respective research. It resulted in court action in 2007. How important do you think that is? You said, greater than, but when you begin to piece everything together, as I've been doing lately, a quite amazing story unfolds. Yes, and I started to do this in 2006 as well, and I have been writing about it ever since. It is very clear from the evidence that Stephen E. Jones and Jim Fetzer are part of the cover-up of what happened on the 11th of September. What else would you expect me to say? Oh, it's all just an intellectual disagreement? I am not sure you have fully grasped what Jones and Fetzer are part of, and why they would say the things they have said or implied, at different times, about the sorts of things we have shown to the public. So, everything else is already on my website, but if you have specific questions, or you find any errors or omissions in what I have posted, please do write and tell me. Best wishes. Andrew Johnson. Caroline Louise then responded, I do appreciate your POF, and I'm entirely open to your being correct. It's not that I don't believe this or that person is a disinfo agent, it's that I am trying to map out how the accusations came to be made and how communication broke down as completely as it did. If you like, it's more of a meta approach, looking at the drama engendered by the conflicting beliefs rather than the beliefs themselves. The thing is, at the moment your POF appears on your website, Fetzer's appears on his, Jones appears wherever his considerable fan base gather, and that is fine. I'm not proposing to take one side or to even examine in detail the claims themselves. What I want to do is examine the history of how they came to be made. Thanks for being open to answer any questions I might have. I do appreciate that. Do you have an email address for Judy Wood? The thing I must emphasize strongly is that I was not expressing a point of view, I was showing evidence, as I am here, just as I have been doing, in similar ways, for over 7 years. Evidence is not a point of view. Another oddity was that she had asked for Dr. Wood's email address, dropping the title. I therefore responded thus. Dear Carolyn, that Fetzer and Jones have lied in relation to 9/11 research is not a puff, it is a fact, which can be established from studying the evidence. It is fact in the same way that the towers turned mostly to dust, which they have tried to cover up or cover up the method by which this was achieved. I am concerned that you do not have Dr. Judy Wood's email address, as this would indicate you have not visited her website, http://www.judywood.com/. The email address is given in the top right-hand corner. Does this mean you have not studied the available evidence of what happened, to the WTC on 9/11? To emphasize, this is not a point of view. It isn't a theory, nor is it a hypothesis. Regards. Andrew Johnson. Caroline Louise then responded. Actually, I have read pretty much everything on Judy Wood's website, and did email her at the address provided, but haven't yet received a reply, so I was wondering if it might be a discontinued address. If it's still operational, I'll email her again. Dr. Wood advised me that a search of her email archive showed that up to this point, she had never received an email from a Caroline Louise, although she had received a similar email from a Hillary Swinton a few days earlier. See end of file on this link 302. Note that Caroline Louise said she has read everything on Dr. Judy Wood's website. Oddly, Caroline Louise then asked, can you tell me more about the alleged threats made to Judy by Fetzer and Jones at different times? I understand Jones sent her an email after Michael Zabu's tragic murder, implying the same thing might happen again? I've seen a one-sentence quote from that email. A longer quote, putting the threat in context, would be helpful, if possible. I replied. I did not refer to the threat from Mr. Fetzer, but it is discussed in an article I wrote. http://www.checkedevidence.com/cms/index.php? Option equals content and task equals view and it equals 170. I did not refer to threats by Stephen E. Jones, so I am not sure what you are referring to. I have not written about any threats by Stephen E. Jones on my website. I did wonder why she had immediately zoned in on matters relating to threats by Jones and Fetzer. In any case, the threat by Fetzer appeared in 2008, not 2006-07, which was the period Caroline Louise stated she was going to write about. She responded. As I've said several times now, I have read pretty much everything to do with this question on your website and on Judy Woods, Morgan Reynolds and Jim Fetzer's. I've read every paper I can find, watched countless hours of video, read endless debates on various websites. I am very, very familiar with the claims to fact made by all sides, but what I am trying to do is record the history and development of the schism, which means I have to document rather than editorialize, do you see? With the emboldened quote above, Caroline Louise is again talking about sides and she completely fails to acknowledge that I had already recorded history, over a 2-3 year period, as it happened, and it is already published, as reference documentation, including audio recordings, not in editorial. Therefore, there is no debate. It is a true and accurate record. So why doesn't she get it? Why can't she see that what I have said above is true, it is not an opinion nor is it a theory, etc. After I had read her message, I began to wonder if Caroline Louise was attempting to rewrite history. At this point, therefore, I chose not to respond. Stephen E. Jones, read my lips on cold fusion. A few days later, I received a rather specific message from Caroline Louise, thus. Hi Andrew, trying to trace a quote you attribute to Jones, Koonin on this page. http://www.checkedevidence.com/articles/jones%20grab%20koonin%20timeline2.htm. Namely that cold fusion was crazy, impossible, you source it to pages 140-45 of Malove's book Fire from Ice, but I have searched the book and can't find that quote anywhere. Can you remember where you found it? This immediately raised two questions in my mind. Firstly, Caroline Louise had stated her objective was to try and tell the story of what actually happened to 9/11 truth in the summer-winter of 2006-07, and yet, This question pertained to something which happened back in 1989 and involved, you've guessed it, Stephen E. Jones. Secondly, I wondered why she had incorrectly stated that I had attributed a quote to Jones, Koonin, a fellow physicist, when the author of this posting is clearly given as Russ Gerst, who has helped Dr. Wood and myself on many occasions and specifically with the publication and distribution of the Where Did the Towers Go? Book. I quickly wrote back to Caroline Louise, saying, what problem are you trying to solve? Are you trying to say there is no connection between Stephen E. Jones, cold fusion, and what happened to the towers? I said I would check the posting timeline when I had time, as I had not written the posting, I wasn't sure exactly what the issue was. Having checked Dr. Malove's Far From Ice book, I wrote back to her thus. The date of the 5th of March 2007 on the above page was incorrect and should have been the 5th of March 2008. I have checked the references, and the summary that Russ did is perhaps slightly inaccurate in the entry you highlighted. I have now updated the text thus. 5/1/1989. Koonin implies Pons and Fleischmann are delusional at apes meetings May 1 to the 3rd, 1989. Jones says, is it a shortcut to fusion energy? Read my lips. No. Eugene Malove, Far From Ice, 1991, p. 143, p. 145. FYI, this page is also included in the main site here. http://www.checkedevidence.go.uk/cms/index.php Option equals com underscore content and task equals view and id equals 162 and item id equals 6. This had the correct date of the 5th of March 2008 at the top. I again asked her what problem she was trying to solve. I asked her if she wanted to debate the difference between the adjectives crazy and delusional. I then asked her who she was. I had no idea who she really was, and sent her additional links, holding evidence about Stephen E. Jones, similar to what I have referenced above. Her next response, 302, was the most illuminating. What problem am I trying to solve? Fair question. I'm trying to document the rift in scholars for 9/11 Truth 2006-7, which, whatever side one takes, was bad news for the movement and for the momentum gathering around the call for a new inquiry. Am I trying to say there's no connection between Steve Jones, cold fusion, and what happened to the towers? No. I'm trying to ascertain to my own satisfaction whether there was a connection or not. Andrew, do you think Malove's book documents Jones trying to discredit or cover up cold fusion? Do you think he intended this to be the message of his book? I got your latest reply just as I was writing this. I'll look into that a bit later and check out all the links. BTW, this is me. http://n.wikipedia.org/wiki/carolyn_leach Caroline Louise was again repeating the side/division meme. Hence, I now knew that A. Caroline Louise was not her real name. B. She seemed to be focusing more specifically on Stephen E. Jones and cold fusion rather than matters related to 9/11 or what happened in the period 2006-7 within the scholars group. Her stated objective was to write about the breakup of the scholars group. The signs were not good. Reading Carolyn Leach's Wikipedia page, referenced above, I noted that she is a British playwright and author, and she wrote a book in 1999 called In the Shadow of the Dream Child. Her book was about the life of Lewis Carroll, author of Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. The Wikipedia page also notes an article in the Times Literary Supplement labeled Leach and her supporters as revisionists attempting to rewrite history. How odd that someone would use the phrase which had popped into my mind early on in the correspondence with Caroline Louise, sorry, Caroline Leach. In a later email 302, I asked her, is it moral, just or right to cover up the knowledge of advanced energy production technology and then turn it into some kind of weapon? She replied, no, it isn't. But have we actually established this is what Jones was doing? Don't we need to do that first before rushing to condemnation? I had been researching these topics for several years, arguably as many as 10, so I certainly wasn't rushing to judgment. Here, she had either not bothered to check the dates on the evidence I sent her, or she was getting ready to mischaracterize what I had written. In another email where I was asking the reasons for her writing to me, she said, "ATM, I'm just trying to get a clear picture of the events. My personal POF is that the less we resort to polarized thinking in any situation, the better. I find it hard to think of any time in history when you're either with us or against us has produced anything positive." Again, she refers to a point of view. However, it is not a point of view that the truth and lies will always be polarized. I would then also like to observe how her Wikipedia page says, "This book and her subsequent work on what she terms the Carol myth have been major sources of upheaval and controversy in recent years, and she has produced very polarized responses from Carol scholars and lay enthusiasts." She sent me a few more emails, and in them, it became clearer that she was specifically focused on trying to recharacterize or repackage the evidence of Joan's role in cold fusion. For example, she queries what I wrote in earlier email. "Malove didn't just not say Jones covered up cold fusion, he praised him for his work on cold fusion and predicted he would be a hero to the cause. Was he deluded in your view? Was Jones not really a cold fusion pioneer? Not really a potential hero? How so? What I have been telling people are the facts. Jones appeared in 9/11 research in August, September 2005. Malove was murdered in May 2004. Of course, you could say there is no connection between these things. Unfortunately, due to the weight of evidence I have compiled, I no longer have that luxury. And this weight of evidence would all be on your website. Is there anything you know that isn't on there?" The last statement I found very interesting. I leave the reader to work out why. Again, what becomes clear is that she has not actually read what is on Dr. Judy Wood's website, especially the postings about Stephen E. Jones' email to Greg Jenkins, recruiting a hit piece 93, nor the posting where even more evidence about cold fusion, Len, and Stephen E. Jones is collected. This latter page references a quote by Malove in his New Energy Times, from February 2001. Dr. Stephen Jones in his skeletal three-page commentary confirms that he still trusts his sparse cold fusion neutron measurements, fair enough. But Jones, the egocentric denier of excess heat claims from day one, apparently has learned nothing and still knows nothing about the process of science. He is an example of the kind of scientist identified in the Bocris quote above. Jones writes disingenuously, "It is high time to strongly question claims of cold fusion based on crude techniques and to demand tests at a rigorous scientific proof level. I have not seen any compelling evidence of any cold fusion effects to date." It seemed that Carolyn Leach had not pretty much read everything on Dr. Judy Wood's website. Caroline Louise's focus on Stephen E. Jones seems to be additionally confirmed in comments on a Willie Lemon blog posted in 2011. Additionally, a comment made by a YouTube user with the name Caroline Louise on the 8th of January 2014, 5 days before a Caroline Louise initially contacted me, on a YouTube video entitled "Stephen E. Jones Cold Fusion Cover-Up Incorrectly States." As I understand it, Jones et al. Had been working on cold fusion at Bayou since 1986, long before PF began their work. Her understanding about Bonds and Fleischmann is wrong, as is documented in issue 5 of Infinite Energy magazine. On page 105 states, "Fleischmann and Pons spent over 5 years and $100,000 of their own money on cold fusion research prior to 1989. They conducted experiments in Pons' laboratory in the Henry Ehrin Chemistry Building at the University of Utah." In an earlier email to me, regarding the timeline, Carolyn Leach wrote 302. Do understand, I'm not defending Jones here, I'm just looking for accuracy. I'm pretty sure you are too. And neither of us want to be in the position of our sources being shown up as faulty or non-existent. Well, it now seems like she does not mind about inaccurate remarks being made by her about Pons and Fleischmann, in her YouTube comment, but she does mind about possible inaccuracy about Say Jones in the timeline article I had on my website. This was the only page on my website which she specifically referenced and asked about. Carolyn Leach also stated that her article was to be for the Memory Hole blog, run by James Tracy. Curiously, there are additional posts on this blog where Dr. Wood's research is brought up, and mischaracterized in one way or another. One posting was actually about Hurricane Erin, and another was originally started about Sandy Hook, but then someone using the name of Hillary posts many comments incorrectly describing Wood's research. For example, as a high-energy beam theory. Just for the record, James Tracy has been a guest on Jim Fetzer's Real Deal podcast on January 14, 2013 and October 11, 2013. Fetzer and Tracy have also stirred the pot quite vigorously in relation to the events at Sandy Hook, which are, like 9/11, not completely explained by the official narrative, but Fetzer and people like him have, again, circulated false information about Sandy Hook and changed their story. In the email to Dr. Wood, Caroline Louise wrote, "Jim Fetzer and Andrew Johnson have both suggested I contact you in relation to work I'm doing on the history of the split in the Scholars' Truth movement that happened 2006-07. I find three interesting things about this. Firstly, it is inaccurate to say I suggested she write to Dr. Wood. I merely asked Caroline Louise if she was not able to see the email address on the website when Caroline Louise had asked me for it. Secondly, it appears she was in communication with Jim Fetzer before writing to Dr. Wood. Is this why she was reluctant to discuss the threat that Fetzer made in 2008? Is this why she was reluctant to discuss any of the content in 9/11 Finding the Truth, but instead focused on a small detail in an article about Stephen E. Jones, which I had not written, but I had posted? Thirdly, Dr. Wood and Dr. Reynolds resigned from the original Scholars for 9/11 Truth group on August 17, 2006, before Jones and Fetzer began fighting and split up. Wood and Reynolds proceeded to conduct independent research and investigation, which is what many were calling for. Want to hold NIST accountable? At this point, I would like to note a campaign posted on the Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth website. As can be seen, they have a membership drive, and ask participants to donate $2.50 per month. Their page states, AE911 Truth will begin pursuing legal avenues to require correction of the NIST report and holding NIST investigators personally accountable. I only need reference here that Stephen E. Jones and Richard Gage already submitted an RFC, request for correction, to NIST in 2007, almost 7 years before this correspondence with Carolyn Leach. They did not reference the thermite evidence they claimed was a smoking gun in the destruction of the WTC. Neither did they take further action. Dr. Judy Wood also submitted an RFC, 3 weeks earlier, which resulted in a key TAM case. Knowing these facts, can we imagine a connection between the launch of this new AE911 membership drive and attempts to publish new articles with a different point of view about what actually happened in 2006 and 2007 in relation to research into 9/11? Summary, conclusions. Here is a summary of the information I have collected here. 1. Caroline Louise contacted me claiming to be interested in writing a piece about the Scholars for 9/11 Truth Group. 2. For some reason, she did not use her real, full name. 3. She seemed much more interested in articles and evidence to do with Stephen E. Jones and cold fusion. 4. She was already researching the Stephen E. Jones, cold fusion issue before she first contacted me. 5. She was in communication with Jim Fetzer around the same time as she first wrote to me and Dr. Judy Wood. 6. Her intent was to post on the Memory Hole blog. 7. As a playwright and author, she has previously written a book which was said to rewrite some of the history of Lewis Carroll. 8. A new AE911 membership and NIST accountability campaign has been launched. So, can I conclude that Jim Fetzer had somehow contacted Carolyn Leach and asked her to write a piece to help defend Steve E. Jones? After all, it was Stephen E. Jones and Jim Fetzer who originally formed Scholars for 9/11 Truth in 2006. Perhaps because of the efforts of a number of people, including Dr. Judy Wood and myself, there is something of a growing awareness of the parallels between 9/11 evidence and cold fusion, LEN, evidence, for example, the tritium data. They are also beginning to see the obvious role of Stephen E. Jones in these two supposedly disconnected fields of research. It is a very, very dangerous, revealing, connection for people to be making. The importance of covering up this connection must be enormous. So, to keep it covered up, and with a new campaign to get money out of truthers, history would urgently need to be rewritten.